For tonight's devotion, I call your attention to a quote. Black is not beautiful. White is not beautiful. These are skin colors. Anything that does not go beyond skin color is not beautiful. Those words were spoken by Jesse Owens, who was considered one of the top five athletes in the world. And what we're introducing this idea of devotion tonight was, he was a little bit about him. He was born in 1913, the son of a sharecropper and grandson of a slave. He grew up in the midst of the times of segregation. And as I said, he's been rated one of the top five athletes in the world. Here's why. During his high school years, he won all of the major events 3 consecutive years. In the Big Ten Championship, May 1935, he set 3 world records and a 4th in 45 minutes. All 3. In the 1936 Olympics, he won 4 gold medals in 1 Olympiad. This Olympics, of course, folks, as you remember reading perhaps, was held in Hitler's Germany. At that time, the news around the world was about Hitler claiming that the Aryan people, his people, were the super race. No other ethnicity, no other race even come close. It was all about the question of Owens going to the Olympics to begin with, and about how he would be received and what kind of a welcome would he get. Well, I'll mention this. It was common courtesy for the ruler of any nation where the Olympics was held to shake hands with the gold medal winners. Hitler did not shake hands with Jesse Owens. But now here's the kicker, folks. When he came back to the United States, FDR didn't shake hands with him either. Like I say, he was brought up in the midst of that kind of society. President Carter said, perhaps no athlete better symbolized the human struggle against tyranny, poverty, and racial bigotry. His personal triumphs as a world-class athlete and record holder were the prelude to a career devoted to helping others. His work with young athletes as an unofficial ambassador overseas and a spokesman for freedom are a rich legacy to his fellow Americans. At that time, someone with all of the gold medals that he had couldn't look forward to any endorsements or products or anything like that. Now, my focus in regard to using this is the strength of the human spirit. I would encourage you to look online and look up some of the background of Jesse Owens and see how that even though when he came back home, he had to ride in the back of the bus at that point of time, even though all of this, and he spoke out on time, he was no activist. He spoke out from time to time. But he didn't let him stop him from doing things which are good, particularly in encouraging and influencing young men. He did that in a great way. Never became rich or anything like that. So the strength of the human spirit, I submit to you, is evident in his life. And I wanted to emphasize the fact that it's success against overwhelming odds. I believe that God endowed us with the human spirit, with that little bit of us that's divine, that if we choose, and it's a choice that we make. If we choose to accept what God has placed within us, and that's all human beings, while we are not equal in talents and abilities, in thoughts and ideas and all of this kind of thing, yet each one of us has the measure which God allowed us to have and which He placed within us. And so we choose every day of our lives. Think of the Apostle Paul. I quite often think of him in this vein. Here was a man who was the most well-known among Judaism in his day. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees and Hebrew of Hebrews. Very intelligent, very rich, no doubt. In all things, Paul was at the top, or Saul of Tarsus. And yet, in a matter of 3 days, when he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he had to sneak out of the city of Damascus. He chose to sneak out of the city of Damascus, being let down in a basket over the wall. What a tremendous difference Christ made in Paul's life. He became Paul, of course. And we might add this, Christ never said that becoming his disciple is going to be easy. He never said that it was going to be great. He never said that he was not going to run into trials and tribulations. In fact, he told people he preached to in the multitudes, as well as his apostles and his disciples, that such would be the case. In the world, you have tribulation. He stated on one occasion. And to top it all off, he gave us the figure of the cross to explain our becoming a Christian. Again and again, the scriptures tell us that. Whosoever is not willing to take up his cross and follow me is not worthy to be my disciple. He urged his apostles, he urged the multitudes to take up the cross and follow him. The urging that he gave to his apostles, to the disciples, to the multitudes that followed him, to the individuals that he talked to on a person one-to-one basis, he gave that challenge. Take up your cross and follow me. And not only that, in his teaching he taught them that it was not going to be an easy cross to carry. But he also gave them assurance, and us assurance, that if we will take up our cross and follow him, that he will also assist us, encourage us, ensure us. If we are willing to talk to him about our journey, to confess to him the times that we have difficulties, thank him when the times when we have good times, pleasures of life, that he's given to us most surely. This same apostle wrote to the Philippian church in chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. One of the most popular verses in the New Testament, perhaps. Out of what is one of the most popular books in the New Testament, the letter that he wrote to the Philippians. Now, if you want to look for the upside of Christianity, if you want to talk about the joy there is in Christianity, I don't know, 11, 12, 15 times the word joy or some form of it is used in the book of Philippians. Over and over again, Paul talked to the Philippian church about the joyous life of a Christian and about the joy that could be had if we're willing to do it. Yes, joy even in spite of the pain and suffering at times. Well, we have that perfect example. Our Savior died on the cross. And when he died, for all practical purposes, he was alone. There was two or three of the women there. You can always count on women being where they're needed. And maybe one or two. He did that for us, for you and I. Most of the apostles had forsaken him. Don't you know they were saying to themselves, why on earth did we follow this fellow? You know, he claimed he was going to reestablish the kingdom, and now look, he's up there on the cross, drawing his last breath. So it remains for each one of us as individuals, as it does for every human being, to make the choice that we have to make, even on a daily basis, as we follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had the greatest spirit, human spirit, and Holy Spirit of all. Now tonight, He offers to us the same invitation that he offered 2,000 years ago. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Beloved, that invitation is as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago when he uttered it. If you've never been baptized into Christ, if you have never confessed with your mouth that he is the Son of God, believed in all your heart that he is the Son of God, and confessed him to be such, and then be baptized and raised and walk in newness of life, why not tonight? And if you're a child of God and have drifted away, why not come back tonight as together we stand and sing?